I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis, and I'm Adam. Here's Danielle.
Hi.
And what you got? I got nothing.
Wow, yeah. You're getting in a groove with this. No, not a groove.
I have nothing like fun to talk about.
I could talk about. I'm so happy right now because you have a big old zit on your forehead.
You want to take a picture? Will it trend if you put a picture?
I get really excited because you never, like, I'm always either bloated or I break out or...
Where'd it go? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I know. It's not as big as I would like. I'm hoping by tomorrow it's
that
bigger.
Bad. It just hurts. No, I thought I just had a headache until I looked in the mirror.
You confused having a zit. That's how seldom you get zits, is that you don't know the difference between having a headache and having a zit.
Well, it was like that episode of The Simpsons where I touch it and I just go, ow, quit it. And then I touch it again.
Right.
Ow, quit it.
It's good pain.
Yeah.
It's like that good pain. Uh-huh. I know.
Weird.
It's a difference between good pain. No, but even the other day, like you're trying on shorts and you're like, oh, I haven't worn these in like a year. And you're like pulling on the waistband. I'm like, oh, are they tight? You're like, no, they're loose.
Oh.
And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, this I never put on pants and I'm like, oh, they're loose. Like, what the hell?
You know what's weird? I was going through my closet and I found shorts. I was just like cleaning old stuff out. And I found old shorts that were a size up. And I don't remember buying that. When was I ever a 31?
Do you think I'm keeping track? A 31, that's what you're... I wouldn't even reveal that online. Yeah, you're going to get all kinds of hate mail.
Really?
Probably. Oh. I mean, what, really? Like a 31?
Well, yeah, because I put my 30s on from that I was taking out from last year. Still fit with a belt.
You have some nerve talking like that to me.
See, but that's not fair because people complain about being fat and that's acceptable to be able to complain about that. But if you feel like you're too skinny, isn't that kind of the same thing? Like, isn't there a too skinny?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it's just annoying that I, you know... I have to listen to you, who we eat the same, like we can eat the same garbage. And then the next day you're like, oh, my pants are too thin. Like that's how murders start. And the judge would understand. A female judge would be like, bitch, I got you.
Look,
I get it.
There's plenty of people out there just like me who don't want to be too thin. And that's why I was working out so hard for so many years and trying to like buff up because that's my way of losing weight. But you know what I'm saying? Somebody who thinks they need to lose weight, for me it's gaining weight.
That's your body image thing.
Yeah, so it's just as uncomfortable.
Well, no, mine is more like I just am frustrated if my clothes don't fit because I don't want to go buy new clothes.
Right, and I don't want you to buy new clothes.
Exactly.
Right,
but I want to eat, so it's, you know, it's like that whole you know, I want to be thin and everything, but I also want to eat tacos.
Okay.
So, and I choose tacos every time.
I love tacos.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I like your tacos.
My tacos are good. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about boundaries and limitations.
Okay.
And we're going to get into this later, but I actually came up with this the night of the 4th of July, a few days ago.
Okay.
So, and we'll
are we fighting now?
We'll get to that. No, we're not going to fight because we kind of already did about it. It was short term. I didn't want to make it into a whole big thing. And at this point, like, how many of the same fight can we really have?
Yeah.
But that's where I came up with it. And we will get to that.
Okay.
But it also kind of relates back to the safe and wild, and that you and I are always, well, are now sort of trying to achieve that balance, because I think at times You on a more long-term scale and a bigger scale. Me on a sort of limited scale, like time limitation. But I think we can both live like with no breaks, where we're sometimes kind of like coasting and we forget that we need to like stop and put on the brakes. Does that make sense? Okay.
Not really.
Like for me, once I start drinking, I don't stop drinking.
Right.
Once I start eating, I don't stop eating. Like, and those kinds of things for me, once I start spending money, I don't stop spending money. Like those kinds of things for me, I don't put on the brakes, but they're usually pretty short lived. Like, okay, so I start drinking at 7 p.m. I'm in bed by 10 every fucking night. Like, how much am I drinking? You know what I mean? So it's short-lived.
Okay.
If I'm at a meal and I, you know, have one piece of bread, I'm like, fuck it. Now I'm going to have 12 pieces of bread because I, you know what I mean? Like, I don't set boundaries for myself in a lot of ways, but you're not setting boundaries, I think, were more destructive. Is that not making sense?
Maybe to everybody else. I, for some reason, I'm confused with what you're getting
to. Because what I'm saying is once you start, like you said, it started with you like going out to dinner.
Like I and start then, and keep going.
Absolutely. Yes. You start and you keep going. You know, like for instance, in Atlantic City, anytime we go to, we'll get into it all.
Okay.
But basically, we don't, both of us are bad at putting on the brakes. And I think sometimes.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I think so, I got you now.
But also on the other, on the, also as a self-protective level for both of us. And I don't know if guys have this as much, but for myself, I think as a woman, I have trouble almost setting boundaries and saying no. And I'm trying to get better at that. And I think
saying no to yourself or
no, to other people in general. Okay. No, just to, you know, can you help? Can you do this? Can you? Oh, sure. Of course. And then like, you know, when the whatever it is that I said yes to comes along, I'm like, what did I do? You know, because now I don't want to do whatever that thing is.
Okay. Right.
I think, you know, with work, it's hard to set boundaries. Not for me. I'm talking more about you or just men in general or people who work in general. I shouldn't say men. People in general. Like what Ariana Huffington is saying, that we need to set boundaries. Now she has that Thrive mode on her phone, up for people's phones, mm-hmm. the apps that you can download. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm not available right now. Like all these things where setting boundaries for our kids, it's a huge topic. But I kind of wanted to break it down a little bit. I think the interesting thing about being an adult that I've learned is that you have two ways to look at it. You have all these responsibilities put on you. You're all of a sudden like, holy shit, now I have to work. I have to support a family. I have to be the protector of people in my life. You have all these things that you have to do, which is super stressful. And then the total other side of it is, wait a minute, I'm an adult. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's a dangerous line there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get to the point where you're like, you have all these responsibilities. And I'm saying you as a general, you. And then all of a sudden you're like, but wait a minute. There's this whole other side to it, which is I'm a fucking grown up. If I want to, you know, go out and spend a shit ton of money, or I want to go out and, you know, live dangerously, or I want to buy a whole chocolate cake and eat it, no one's going to tell.
It's so dangerous.
No, but what I'm saying is it's like a good thing and a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, my thoughts are like, I want to go to AC. I want to drink. I want to smoke. I want to. And then you're like, I want a chocolate cake.
No, I want to smoke too.
Right, I know.
Yeah, so I think that learning how to balance that is a big deal, because I think we're either on one side or the other. Like you, Adam, mm-hmm. have either been, you know, expected to be the provider, the protector, the everything. And then I think in order to balance that, you would go off the deep end and be like, well, look what else I'm going to do, motherfucker. Like, I'm still a partier and I can still go out. And you know what I mean? Like, I mm-hmm. think it's been both.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think also there's this whole, on the other side of that, I think there's this whole idea of deprivation now. We deprive ourselves with dieting, with there's this whole culture of deprivation, you know, of like all these things that we're supposed to not do because it's bad for us. Well, and then sometimes we keep ourselves from doing it. And then all of a sudden it's like all that deprivation leads to just total gluttony also.
Yeah, no, that completely makes sense. But right. Like as anything that you're saying, like we're adults, we can do whatever we want. If you eat the whole chocolate cake, yeah, you got to diet for a week after that.
Or not diet, but you're just going to feel ill.
Right, there's consequences to the things that we want to do.
Exactly, exactly.
That sucks. Can somebody invent something?
Well, I have this whole, you know, now there's this whole intuitive eating thing and stuff, which maybe we'll get into in a different episode. My sister's been doing it, and it has a lot of positive feedback to it. And there's also a lot of people who give a lot of negative feedback to it. But it's, you know, in a lot of ways... When we deprive ourselves, sometimes it's not a good thing when we deprive ourselves too much. So achieving this balance is sort of what we're trying to do.
Right. What is it? Real quick.
Intuitive eating is sort of like a eat when you're hungry. Stop worrying about everything that. And listen, I haven't read the books on it. I don't. Uh-huh. I haven't done the research. You know, I do know that I'm getting to a point in my life where I am so fucking sick of dieting. I'm so sick of worrying about everything I put in my mouth. I want to work out. I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to get back into all of that. But I'm so sick of worrying about every fucking thing that I eat. And I think that that's sort of the overall, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I went through a huge phase of organic only, everything perfectly portioned things for every meal.
Well, I don't think the intuitive eating is saying no organic. I'm not saying that.
I was just saying that I was worried about everything that I was eating. I was worried about how many days I was working out. I was worried about, and then I just got to a point where I'm like, really? Like, what the fuck?
Well, again, when you go to an extreme, I think, you know what I mean? So like right now I'm trying to run, and when I'm running, I used to run and time myself. I used to run and, you know, sprint the half of the way home. I used to do all these things that weren't enjoyable, that I got to the point where I was like, who wants to fucking do that? Now when I'm running, I'm trying to enjoy what I'm listening to. I'm not timing myself. Right. I'm trying to run for the sake of running. I love to run. I do. I'm one of those stupid people who loves to run, but I don't love to push myself to the point of feeling like I'm going to vomit and feel, you know what I mean? That's not enjoyable to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. I got to get to that place, because like I just went running the other day, and it was a while since I went that far. Mm-hmm. And the way I used to run was so ultra competitive with myself.
Yeah.
And like I used to run crazy time. And now I'm like,
yeah, we're not in that phase anymore. Beyond that. And we have to be okay with that. And like you said, you walked up the hill when you got to a hill. So what? Right. Great. Who cares?
Still exercise.
You still did it.
Right. I got to get my head out of it and enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we all need to do that. And we need to find whatever exercise or whatever it is in life we find enjoyable, and stop pushing everything to the max. And then all of a sudden being like, I can't sustain this. It's not sustainable.
Right.
You know?
Get it.
So anyway, I know that I wanted to talk about little boundaries. You know, we talked a lot way back in the day. We talked about how much is too much episode, which I think was a bad title. I think it confused a lot of people. It was like one of our first episodes.
Right.
We recorded it at a studio in New York, actually.
Oh, right. That was fun, at least.
It was super fun. Yeah. And people who listen to it really like it, but it was way back in the beginning, and it was all about like boundaries.
That guy was so funny, just cracking up listening to us talk.
Well, and we just got him so drunk.
Yeah, it was so funny. So, now, I think he was in shock of the things that we were saying. I don't think he's heard that on a podcast before.
Right.
It was funny. But
think we walked in and he's like, oh, look at this cute suburban couple.
Right.
Like,
and then we got him drunk and it was all, all let loose.
But so anyway, so we all our relationships and everything have certain little boundaries. I'm not going to get into the big details yet. Obviously, we all should have bigger boundaries too. But we all have things in our relationship we won't do, like you and I. Well, this is more your thing, but we would never fart in front of each other.
Can we not even use that word?
Exactly. See, there we go. Back to that episode. That's what we talked about. You can't even say the word.
yeah, that's a thing with me. Maybe that's my boundary issues. For the things that freak me out, I can't say the word. Mm-hmm. I can't hold things that represent what
you won't pass me the ketchup.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I have to use words to even represent what I'm trying to say, which you can at least explain for me. So
right. I can't. You won't. You hate condiments.
We sell those bottles in my store.
You sell ketchup at your store?
No, the bottle, just the empty, like the red and the yellow. The
oh, like mustard. To use at parties. Yeah, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you see it like an old school diner.
Yeah, they're cute.
I won't put them on the shelf, even though they're empty.
For real?
Because of what I won't touch the bottles because of what that represents.
And I'm the one with the melted.
That's fucked up, right?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It is fucked up. I know that, but it's bizarre.
Well, you also won't share a toothbrush. That's a boundary for you. That's a hard no.
That's a hard no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone.
We need to do a poll about this. I'm going to do a poll.
But you know what's even kind of strange? We've spoken before about how our son Ian uses my toiletries, not the toothbrush. That's, forget that. But he's using my deodorant.
Yeah, and he smells way worse than me.
But he wants to use my Buchanan stuff, right?
Right.
So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but that's so weird because have you smelled him recently? Yeah. He smells horrible.
He's an 11-year-old active boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am a 41-year-old sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix girl. I don't sweat that much.
Maybe it's because when he uses it, it's back where it was.
Oh, that I leave it somewhere
else?
Yeah,
like, and then I have to go find when I
don't
need.
Think with a toothbrush that's what it
well,
is.
Well, no, toothbrush, forget it. Nobody's using my toothbrush.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
What else you got for me?
I got a bunch.
What else?
I didn't do that. I just thought you were going to do some for you.
I'm curious.
My hard no's were just, I don't like to have sex when I have my period.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, why? You're the one who's always like, who cares?
Well, yes and no. Okay. I'm kind of either way about it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a hard no for me.
Okay.
I don't enjoy it at all. It's not even that I think it's gross. I don't like the feel of it.
Yeah, it feels different.
Oh, feels, yeah, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway. It's just like no friction whatsoever.
Is it
gross.
One of those fat hot dogs or one of those little skinny?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does for my ego.
it just doesn't, I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, obviously, and then you leave and you're like, okay, and we wake up the next morning and you're fine. You're never mad at me or anything. Like, you're never... You know,
when you say
get
no,
sex eventually. It's just not going to be that night.
Well, I realize it's not happening. I go, I take care of myself.
I was
and then
just
going to
say, you put on porn, or
I totally see. But
yeah, when you leave, I put on porn too.
It's hard to find like 30-second porn because that's that needs
just
to be a
fast
thing.
Forward to the last. 10
I try
seconds.
That, but then I skip too far, and I want to see the part that I just skipped through, and then I want to watch it, and then
How long does it take people to masturbate? That
it's literally 30 seconds to a minute.
But I was going to say that like porn goes on forever, but really, if you're masturbating, you only need like 30 seconds or a minute.
Yeah.
Or women too.
Is that true?
Yeah, super fast. I know exactly what to do and where to go. It's not rocket science. Damn. I mean, it is for you guys when it comes to us, but it's not rocket science for us when it comes to us.
You guys are too complicated.
No, we're really not. Okay, so anyway, that was what I wanted, just like the little boundaries. As far as big boundaries go, I talk about Gottman a lot because they break it down. And they have the four horsemen, which are the four things you're never supposed to do in a relationship. We could do a whole episode on that. But the biggest one is that if you – the worst thing you can do in a relationship when you're fighting is to show contempt. And showing contempt is so that should be a boundary in your relationship, that if you're fighting, that you don't go to that point of contempt, which basically is – it starts small, but then it starts with you saying things to your spouse like, for instance, if you have a spouse who's always late, okay, and then you say to your spouse – you know, when I was in second grade, I learned how to tell time, and I know, you know, like stuff like that. Or you roll your eyes, or you do the, ugh, are you fucking kidding? Like stuff like that, mm-hmm. which we do 1,000 times, and you know, but you're not supposed to. So that's really the big thing, and they say that's the biggest no-no of everything.
Okay.
And that feelings of contempt. You know, there are ways to get over it, and I had them somewhere here, but now I can't find them. Oh, here. So, it says, Contempt is it's a form of attack on someone's sense of self. And contempt always leads to more conflict. It never resolves anything. And it's eye-rolling, disgust feeling, negative thinking. And one partner is, you know, is always feeling attacked. So instead of saying, you do this to me, or you need to learn how to tell time, instead it should be, listen, I have the need to be on time. Do you think you could work with me? And we could figure this out together. Like, that's the way to approach it, which in the moment is obviously super hard.
There's always one way to step back and look into a situation and be like, maybe you should do it this way. But when you're in the heat of the moment, it's not quite that simplistic. Yeah. Like, there's always, like, I have this here down in my notes, but I'll just throw it out there now, where, like, fighting styles, where why you and I have a hard time coming to a resolution is because right off the bat, you're at a volume 10. Mm-hmm. You're like attack mode.
But it's taken me a while to get there.
Not
necessarily. It's a buildup.
It doesn't even matter. It could be that situation, or it could just be we just started talking about whatever you're mad at. And you're like, bam, like volume up.
Okay. I'm going to talk about...
For me, my boundary might be that I can't do that. I can't handle that.
Here's our fighting style in a nutshell, okay? Because here's where we both are bad. So I am... I don't know if this is one of the four horsemen or not, but yes, I have anger issues in that I scream.
Okay, but don't say anger issues because you're like that with the kids too.
Yeah, it's anger.
Okay, I didn't know if you were coming towards me with there's things you're angry about.
No.
So every
I go
time,
like, you know, I know what you're saying. Yeah. My volume is at a 10. Although I grew up in a household with a mom who screamed. And it was effective. I was scared of her.
Really?
She never touched us, never hit us, nothing. But
but it came from the bedroom, so how scared could you be?
No. She used to chase us up the stairs, and I would lock myself in the bathroom, and she'd be like, you open this door right now. And I'd be like, are you fucking crazy? I'm not opening the door.
Oh, open the door? Sure. Hold on. Let me
just
open the door for you.
But she would scream. And I guess I was sort of like, all right, and then it was over and it was fine. And she's such a loving person, you know, like the screaming does not define her. And I know I'm never worried that you or the kids wonder if I love you. Like if I'm screaming, you know, I'm pissed. Like I'm super affectionate and everything. I happen to have a downfall that's screaming and I would like to work on that.
I would like you to too.
I would too.
Yeah.
But. Okay, so here's the problem is that, like, the other night, we'll talk about... All right, so I'm going to get into the 4th of July in a second. Because, number one, it's kind of a good story. And number two, I think it says a lot about our relationship. But when I was upset with you, I said to you... I'll tell the story.
Can I tell
the story? So here's where we go with boundaries. Here's the problem with the no breaks with you. That has been a hard thing in our relationship is that once you start with something, you get super excited about it and then you can't stop.
Okay. I completely agree with you. And I know that's how you feel. I kind of feel the same way. I get that. But before you tell the story, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay. This is going to sound dramatic, but I honestly feel like the green light card is changing the way we parent.
I don't think that's dramatic at all.
Okay, thank you.
I completely agree.
Right.
Yes.
It's been so easy since we got it. Our son, who literally wants something new every single day, hasn't really been asking for new things because he kind of knows the drill now. And he did just save up for, he wanted Steph Curry. Is that the basketball guy's name? I think his name is Steph Curry. Anyway, he really wanted the sneakers. They were way more money than I was willing to spend on sneakers. So he spent 3 weeks. And he loaded and unloaded the dishwasher. He walked the dog and he read for summer reading, which for anybody whose kids have summer reading, you know that is not an easy task. And he saved up and he bought them. So it's just completely changing the way our kids are understanding finance, and it's taking this burden off of us and easily, I think, just incorporating decisions about money into our kids' lives. And it's just so amazing because each kid gets automated allowances if you want, or you can just pay if they do something exceptional that day that you want to just put money in. People can gift them money. And there's just so many flexible payment options. And teens can set up a direct deposit and learn the importance of saving and giving.
Go to greenlightcard.com/marriage and your first month is free. And then it's just $4.99 a month for up to 5 kids.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. I mean, it's going to change the way, like you said, it's going to change the way we're better with them financially than we are ourselves. Thanks to this card.
I know. It's so true. Yeah. And we have it for our 13-year-old, our 11-year-old, and our 7-year-old. And they're all actively using it. So go check it out. Greenlightcard.com/marriage. A few months ago, I sent my kids drawings, art, cards that they've made, trophies, ceramics, all into Archive after they sent me this box with a prepaid UPS label. And they sent me back this gorgeous hardcover book with all of our kids' stuff in it, professionally photographed. These aren't iPhone photographs. These are real professional photographs, and you can tell the second you look at the book. It's been sitting on our coffee table ever since we got it. The kids look through it obsessively, and anytime a guest comes over, that's the first thing that they do. Look at my art, look what I've done, and they look through it together, and it's been a great conversation piece. So if you go to archiveapp.com and use promo code MNM, you'll get $20 off your Archive shipping kit. And this big box comes, you put everything in it, it's super easy, and then they just ship you back everything in this gorgeous hardbound book. And let's face it, the summer is almost halfway over, I hate to say it. All that new artwork from the upcoming year is going to start coming home, so why not start fresh? Have everything in this gorgeous book from previous years, and just be ready to start new for the new school year. I think it's awesome. Archiveapp.com, use code MNM, and you'll get $20 off your Archive shipping kit.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this. Bring it on.
Okay, so the 4th of July.
Yeah.
All right, so when we talk about boundaries, the one thing, we talked about this a little bit in the Safe and Wild episode. One thing that I love about you so much is that you're so fun.
Why are you starting it with like a, no, because, this is how I love you, but.
No, but it really has to do with this. Like, okay. this is the part where I have trouble and I worry. I'm never able to relax really in life because you don't know the boundaries and the limitations. And that's a little bit one thing that I love about you. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was just listening to an interview with Anthony Bourdain and he reminds me a lot of you. I can't get into his head. I don't know what was going on there or anything like that. But I love him. I think he's I think he was an amazing guy. I think he was a tortured soul a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Or very much so. But I also think he was the type of guy who liked to get down and dirty and he liked to really live and he liked to really embrace and enjoy. And he could go same way with you. Like you love, you know, good food and everything. And like he would go to all these different cultures and sit down at a table and eat stuff and probably make them feel phenomenal about their culture and about their, you know, he was like such an accepting guy and everything. And those are all the same things I love about you. Like you just have this rawness to you and this appreciation of the inner workings of like life and culture. Like I feel like that's all.
That's a good way to put
it.
Because like, just like Anthony Bourdain, I love the good stuff. Yes. I love the good. But I love the street food. I love this, this shit.
And if you were to travel and you unfortunately haven't had the chance to do like he did, or fortunately, because he, I think maybe for him it was too much, but you haven't gotten the, but if you did, like you would be the type who could go into, you know, the center, a center city of China or any anywhere. I would just use China as an example and sit down at a table and truly and completely appreciate the culture and the food. And you would be the best dinner guest. And yeah. I love that about you. But the other side of Anthony Bourdain, where I also think you have a parallel, is that he always says that from the time he was younger, and this was you, from the time he was younger, he was self-destructive. And if he was at, if he was with friends and everybody was doing drugs, well, he was doing the most drugs. And if he was at a party and everybody was getting drunk, he was the drunkest. Like he always took it to that. He was always teetering on the edge, you know, of a cliff. And, you know, and unfortunately it got to be too much. And I think maybe some of that was that he had the opportunity to go to a, down a path that fosters that
Right.
You know what I mean?
That was the lifestyle.
The
that
cooking
he was living.
Scene, yeah. The kitchen, the, you know, but, and I think he was, again, like tortured. But I feel sometimes with you, like you can be destructive like that. And
this is a big setup. I'm sorry.
But when I was listening to the interview, it was so you, because there's so many positive aspects to your personality like that you like to be in the thick of things. But there's also this part of me that worries. So we're at a 4th of July party this week with some of our best friends. Mm-hmm. And they live like in the middle of the woods. And you're the party guy. Everybody knows Adam's the party guy. When you show up, it's tons of fun, which I love. But there's also another aspect of it that's, you know, sometimes I like it to be where I could just go and relax and not have to worry about you being the party guy and what's going to end up happening. So you're like obsessed with fireworks.
Yeah.
You have an obsession with fireworks that literally our kids, you'll be like, let's do fireworks, kids. And they'll be like, really? Do we have to?
Right. Like, it's again, Dad.
Yeah. And their kids come home. Their friends come over and are excited about it.
Yeah. But I also want to put out there that when we're at the party, before the fireworks was the only thing. I wasn't the guy with the lampshade. Like the lampshade on my head, like dancing
Nobody
around.
Nobody had a lampshade on their head.
But I'm just trying to say, like, I wasn't
But
out
you're
there.
Always the guy going the furthest.
Okay, but I was just trying to say, aside from the fireworks, was there really anything that made
Well, let's get to the fireworks.
Okay.
So fireworks are now legal in New Jersey. I'm going to preface it with that. But we were at a friend's house who lives in the middle of the woods. So you need to be a little careful. So you start setting off kind of small fireworks, you know, like the fun, like firecrackly ones. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's like, oh, yay, you know, so fun. So.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. Your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
We do that for a few minutes and, you know, I'm like, okay, this is good. I can handle this, you know, and our youngest son is running inside because he's scared of any fireworks. So you run out of fireworks and I'm excited because I'm like, okay, everything went fine, you know, and people were excited about the fireworks and I'm like, all right, I'm glad it's over because I do get nervous when it's not our house. They are literally in the middle of the woods where they live. And so I'm like, okay, I can breathe now because it's all fine. He did it. It was great. He's party Adam. It went well. And then all of a sudden I see you walk in with more fireworks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, oh my God, I thought it was done. And some of our friends, half of our friends are super excited about you doing fireworks. And half of our friends are like nervous about the fireworks.
Half? Like two
okay,
moms.
Okay, fine. And I was one of them. So you walk in and I'm like, enough. Done. Be done.
And I did not do anything without the consent of the homeowner.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. I am your wife.
And all the kids cheering me on.
I am your wife and I said to you, enough. Please, enough. Stop. It's enough. Okay? And you completely ignored me. Okay? So here I am. Now you're starting to set them off and I'm going inside. Because I can't, my heart is pounding at this point because I'm like, oh, I don't know, anything could go wrong. Literally, I see sparks coming off of trees, right? Because we are literally in the middle of the woods.
Okay, no. Don't make it like we're literally in the middle of the woods.
Yes, we are.
We're at a home surrounded by trees, but obviously not on the property.
Okay, fine. We're surrounded by fucking wood that is flammable.
Right.
So then I say to you, enough. Plus, I wanted to leave soon. The kids have camp. Like, it was enough. Like, we had a great time. It was time to fucking go. Like, done. And then I looked at you and I was like, we need to go. And all of a sudden I see you're getting food. Ian's getting food. You're going to set off more fireworks. And I'm like, no, I want to leave. So by this point, I'm getting annoyed. So then you let off the last fireworks. And I think it's done. And I'm already annoyed because I'm like, I literally said to him, how hard is it to be like, all right, she doesn't want me to do it. I did 20 fireworks. I don't need to do any more. So all of a sudden I hear somebody, fire, fire. And I'm like, holy shit. And I look in the woods and there's a fucking fire, like a fucking fire in the middle of the woods. And our friend luckily is smart enough that he goes and he gets a fire extinguisher. I would have been out there with like a bucket. Right. But he goes in the kitchen running. One guy burns his foot because he's barefoot and he's trying to run and put out the fire, and he burns his fucking toes. And you're there like, you know, cleaning up the fireworks and everything and helping them put up the fire and everything. And I'm like, I know you always take it too far. And it's never another husband taking it too far. It's never another dad taking it too far. And I know everybody loves you because you're so fun, but I'm the one who deals with the stress of it. Because ultimately, if the fire department came, it would be who was setting off these fireworks. And fine, they're legal now or whatever, but still a fucking fire department would have had to come. The whole fucking woods could have caught on fire. I know I'm using fuck a lot, but...
There's no guarantee it was mine. It was fireworks going around all of the same neighborhood.
Okay, but when you're a wife and you told your husband to stop and he didn't, you're pissed. Right. So it doesn't matter whose fireworks it was.
The whole time, this is the worst excuse ever, all the kids were like, you're the best, Adam. Mm-hmm. I love you. Oh, my God, you were incredible.
Not just the kids. I know the adults were too. And the adults were too,
yeah, of course. So I was feeding off that shit. I was liking it. So I wasn't doing it because everybody was rooting me on. I wasn't looking for that. But...
I know you are like obsessed with fireworks.
It's fun.
You know what? It's to you. I think it's like it's dangerous, but not too dangerous.
Right.
But and you like, yeah, you like to be the fun of the party. And I love that about you. But you need to start when I say enough. You need to be like, OK, maybe she fucking knows something. Like maybe she's telling me enough and I should listen to her. So that's the part that I have trouble with. And then we ended up. OK, so then we ended up fighting about it.
Eh, kind of.
Well, I was angry.
I know.
I know. And you were like mad at me for being angry.
Yeah. And one reason being, if you remember when we were trying to leave, everybody was saying to you, Danielle, calm down. Danielle, you're
but it's not
exaggerating.
Their husband,
Danielle,
and they haven't dealt with it 1,000 times.
Okay. But obviously, if nobody else felt the same way that you did, was it really as...
But I knew I was going to be up the rest of the night worrying about a fire starting because it was my husband who had set them off.
Yeah, but I actually was the one who was up all
night.
Right. Well,
good. I'm glad you were. But that,
yeah, I texted him the next morning. Like, hey, dude, everything... Like, thanks for the party. Mm-hmm. Everything okay?
No, and they're the nicest. We have wonderful friends. And I know... Listen, but I am the wife. I am the one who winds up saying to myself, I don't know how to... And control is the wrong word, but it's also the right word. I don't know how to control it. When you go too far and you say to yourself, oh, well, I'm not this and I'm not this and I'm not spending too much money and I'm not drinking too much and I'm not like you too far is too far, no matter what it is.
Okay.
So that's my whole problem. But then when we were fighting, you started what they call the Gottman Institute's calls stonewalling, which you put up this barrier, I'm telling you things, and you're completely ignoring me.
Yes.
Right, which makes me even more pissed off.
Right.
Right. So then, at a certain point, I'm like screaming at you.
Right. Well, this time you didn't. Typically, you start off screaming at me, which maybe is what I anticipated, so I shut down.
Okay, but...
Because I know that that's okay, where you go.
So that's where our fighting styles are. You being silent is horrible.
Well, you being screaming is horrible.
Fine. You being screaming.
Yes.
But anyway, so that's the kind of stuff that I'm sort of like, it's always my husband who is the one who, you know, I'm the one who has to worry. I feel like at these parties, nobody else is worrying about their husband. Well, maybe that's not true. I know some people who are worried about their husband.
I don't think that's even fair to say.
Okay, but I have dealt with a lot of it. So I worry. And I'm worried about you blowing off your fucking fingers.
Oh, come on. We don't have those kinds of fireworks that you blow off your fingers. I wasn't letting off M80s. I wasn't doing like dynamite sticks.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the fireworks story. But literally in that second where they're like, fire, and you look back in the woods and you see an actual fire surrounded by trees and dry leaves and all this stuff.
No, it was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Totally scary.
Yes.
Yes.
It was. I'm just curious, completely back to the other topic of... boundaries for ourselves and saying no and stuff. I'm curious for you as a man, like, do you ever feel that you have trouble saying no to things and that you need to set boundaries? Because I know I'm stereotyping, but I do think it's true. I think as women, we have this huge can't say, like, we just have trouble saying no. We want to say yes to everything.
Yeah. I feel like with, like, small things, like if a friend is like, hey, you want to get together tonight, you know, grab dinner or whatever, get together for drinks, I can easily say, nah, I'm not into it. I feel bad. Like, I have a guilt inside, but I can easily be like, nah, I'm not into it. And just that's my answer. Like, no, not tonight. No, thanks. You know, without an excuse, without anything like that. But for the bigger things, I mean, you know very well, I've never been good with dealing with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when it comes to the big things,
yeah, you don't like confrontation.
I hate confrontation, and I was always very bad at dealing with confrontation, and I think that made me almost like a people pleaser at some point, or for the most part of my life, like just doing things because I don't want to cause confrontation, I don't want to cause conflict, I don't want to, and I didn't stand my ground, and I didn't state.
But you were young too.
But not even. I'm thinking. I don't think I've really gotten good at it until this last year, maybe. You know, with the help of therapy, with the help of the shit that we've gone through, and you and I discussing and talking about it. I'm at a place now. Finally, at 41. Am I 41?
You're gonna be 42 in 3 weeks.
Shut up! I'm 41.
Yeah. Okay.
That I'm okay with being like, you know what? Here's why I'm not okay with that. And here's what bothers me about what you're saying, where before I didn't do that very well. And I'm not looking just to please everybody anymore, which I did for the bulk of my life. And I don't want to start confrontation. I don't want to cause it. But if it comes to my door, I can tackle it. I can handle it now. And I'm way more comfortable handling it today than I was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed only in the last year for me, I think, you know.
Well, I think also after what everything we've gone through the past few years, I think also we're sort of like, how do I say this? It's hard to say, but we're sort of like, all right, like, we're going to do what we have to do because shit goes down no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sort of like, you want to surround yourself with the people who, we know the people who have been there for us, and we know the people that we can tell anything to, and they're supportive of us. And then we know the ones who haven't. And it's harder to maintain those relationships because you're sort of like, why am I saying yes to them when in return, they're not doing the same for us?
Yes. And that's what I have learned.
Yes. But I also think we're at a point now where I think 10 years ago when our kids were really little and I was forming relationships and we were forming relationships with other parents and in the community and everything, we felt more like we had to say yes, because when you're forming relationships, you want to be the yes person. You want to be, you know, that's how you make friendships, right, and everything. Now our friendships are formed. I mean, it would, not to say I don't, you know, if we make more friends and stuff, great. But those are going to be on our terms.
Right.
We don't have to prove ourselves anymore. Like, our friends that are in our life now, if I can't say no to them, like, I have friends who I'll cancel on, and I know for 5 minutes they're going to be like, you bitch.
Right.
And then 5 minutes later, they're going to be like, I love you. What are we doing next weekend? You know, because they know me and they love me. And I don't have to prove myself to them anymore. And they know that I'm a fuck up. But they know also that I'm not a fuck up. But
yeah,
I'm going
to
be there.
That's kind of what I was saying before. If I say no to a friend, it's like, you know what? No. Just no.
Right.
But I'll see you in a couple of days. We'll do something.
Right.
You know, something like that.
And if a friend gets mad at me for that, then I'm sort of at the point in my life where I'm like, okay, that's not the friendship at this point in my life that I need. You know, I have a teenager and I have shit to take care of. I have stuff to get in line. Like, we have this business now. Like, I have all this stuff now that I need to be on top of. And so for me, it's like, okay, if you're going to be the type of person who's going to hold a grudge over me, fuck that. But when I was just establishing those relationships, I didn't have the ground to do that.
Yeah, because you needed friends for
right,
our
I needed
children.
To build those and friendships. Yes.
Yeah, so you, yes. you were forced into, I don't want to say forced.
Had to do more.
Yeah, you were trying to build relationships for the kids, where now we're not at that point. Because they're old enough.
Right.
And they're in school. And
when I formed those friendships, and the ones that I formed, I've sifted through the ones that are, it's not going to work. Like, if you are expecting me to be, you know, wherever you need me to be at a certain time, or to be at your PTA function, or this or that, it's not going to work for us. You know?
We have to break up.
We have to break up. But if you're going to, you know, if you're the type who, they know who I am, they know I'm going to be there. 8 times out of 10, I'm going to not cancel. But 20% of the time, that's good, right? 2 out of 10 is 20%. I'm going to cancel.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I know.
Do you think this is completely off topic and maybe something that we should even focus on for another episode? Do you feel that it's okay that you say, listen, that's the way I am. That's the way it is. If you're not into it, goodbye. Like, we just can't be friends.
I haven't lost any friends yet.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, you know, Danielle, saying when my kids were little, we had to form friendships. I had to go the extra mile and the extra step and do things I wasn't comfortable doing to make those friends. Where now you're at the point where you say, I'm over that. This is who I am. If that's not okay with you.
Well, I'm not saying this is who I am. I'm going to fuck you over all the time, or I'm
not
going to
hang
with you.
No, fuck them over all the time. It's just... like,
sure. If
you I'm Danielle.
Yes.
I don't do PTA meetings. You don't
absolutely.
Like that? Goodbye.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. I think I've earned it.
Okay. I think there's something behind that we should probably talk about for another episode.
Oh, why you don't agree with it?
I'm not saying I don't agree with it. I'm just saying there's probably a lot of underlying things. I'm not saying for you, Danielle.
Well,
I'm
wait a minute. We all preach, and yes, I say all. We all preach. Be who you are, accept each other for who you are, support each other. Like, I'm the type of person who I build other people up. I really do believe
yes,
that.
Yes, I agree with that.
There's nothing I want more than I am the person who is holding your hand and pulling you up.
Right. But I guess my point is, yes, we should accept everybody for who they are. But in certain, you know, situations,
sure,
maybe you
have
to.
Sure, you can be pissed off at me.
No, I'm just saying maybe you have to. Do the extra thing you're not comfortable doing just because of whatever situation.
I think
it
I
is.
Did my time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I did my time.
Okay.
I think I. Yeah, I'm not, I think I no longer have to do that.
Okay. I'm not.
Which
aiming
is the beauty
this,
of 40 plus.
I'm not aiming this at you,
no, I
Danielle.
Know.
I'm just saying there's something about that topic I think could possibly be a whole episode.
Sure.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I do think that have I lost people in my life? Very few and far between.
Or
a
the
one, few.
Or the ones you care about.
What do you mean?
Like, if you've lost people because of that.
Did I care about them?
You're not even
them?
Thinking about it.
No, because... no, I care about them.
Okay.
But it's not going to work.
Okay.
That's not a real friendship, you right. know, or a real relationship.
Right.
And if they can't see the other stuff I have to offer,
right.
then they don't want me for me. It's not worth it.
Right. See, yeah, that's why I think there's so much to talk about with that.
Yeah.
Because, all right, let's save that.
Right.
I like it.
Well, I think also we're accepting each, you know, we've decided to accept each other for who we are. Do we have to, but we have to, it has to be a give and take. It has to be like you with the limits and me with something I've done
wrong.
You got
nothing, huh?
No, I know I do a lot wrong. The screaming. We want to work on things, but we're not throwing in the towel because,
right.
you know, so yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
How about as parents setting boundaries? That's kind of the last thing I have.
How we should set boundaries for our kids?
Yeah, I just, you know, we have a teenager now. She's a very good teenager.
Yeah.
We're not worried about her right now, but I also don't want to be the parent who says, oh, not my kid. But what kind of boundaries are you looking like? What do you think you're going to plan for our kids? Like, what are the boundaries
well, yeah.
going to be? Are there going to be curfews? Or are there going to
sure.
be...
Sure. It's not just even for teenagers because all kids need boundaries. I mean, it doesn't matter what mm-hmm. their age is. It doesn't matter, you know, if they're teenagers or not. I think at every stage of being a child, you need boundaries because that's what helps them grow. That's what helps them make smart decisions when they're on their own. Even starting from, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, like babies, you know. Mm-hmm. Kids are impulsive. They do what they want and whatever feels good. I mean, that's what being a child
like
is. Exactly. But exactly. And it's not what's necessarily good for them. It's just what feels good, right? That's what's supposed to separate a child from an adult. Maybe sometimes adults, you know, mm-hmm. do what children do and do what feels good, even though it's not good for them. But whatever boundaries that I set for our kids, the only purpose is, number one, to keep them safe. Number two, to keep them healthy. And number three, to be good people.
Yeah, not end up like assholes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I think those three things are extremely important. Yeah. Obviously, you want to keep your kids safe.
I think we both have a fear of raising assholes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you want to keep them safe. You want to teach them how to be healthy. So obviously,
healthy
they can.
Healthy meaning what? Mentally
life,
healthy?
Everything. Food, mental, like just being healthy as a person.
We're doing a shit job with food.
Yeah, terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
But do you have in your head already, as a kid also, who, and for me too, we were both bad teenagers. Mm-hmm. I want to say bad. It's the relatively speaking.
Yeah.
But do you have things that you say to yourself, like, are you, I'm like looking to you for this.
Well, okay.
I took care of the toddler years. I'm kind of looking to you for the teenage years.
Here's my example for that. I didn't even have this written down, but this has been in my mind since I was a teenager. I've been there. I've either done it or I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I know what listen, times have changed. I know that. I know there's different methods of...
One, social media.
Exactly.
Is a whole other.
Like, so that's a whole different thing. There's nothing that my children can do to hide from me. I've been there. I'll know if they've been...
I don't know with vaping. It's very hard now.
I'll know.
Now, how will you know if a kid is vaping? You will not know if your kid is vaping.
Well, are you talking about pot or are you talking about...
Anything.
Well, with pot, I will know if my kid is high. I will know if my kid has been drinking. I will know if my kid
drinking almost
has been, you know, doing all those basic, like maybe the social media stuff. You would know before I did, you know, but all those basic things that have been with us for, you know, decades and decades that all kids do. They're not going to get past me. So I'm going to be able to set the boundaries with them. And if they come to me once with, I know they've been drinking, I'm right there stopping talking to them about it. Mm. And what's good about it, what's bad about it, how it could fuck them up, or how to do it responsibly when the time is right for them to do it responsibly. Yes, that involves curfews. That involves knowing that they need to be home at a certain time. That limits.
Yeah, like, do you think about all that? Like,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, I know with license and stuff, you know, they need to be home by 11 o'clock.
Shit out of me. I'm very, very nervous.
Especially our daughter who can't even fucking cross the street.
I'm so happy.
I love her so much, but she really can't cross the street.
I'm so happy things are moving more towards automated driving. Possibly our kids might not even be driving.
So no, that excites too
me.
Soon.
All right, maybe in the next generation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's too soon.
But because that scares me.
It's so funny because I was talking to your mom, my mom too has, so they both have grandchildren now who are driving. And she's like, I thought it was bad when my kids are driving. It's even worse when your grandkids are driving.
Right.
Because you know they're out there, but you can't be texting them, asking them all the time.
Parent. Right.
Yeah, you're not the parent.
Right.
So it's like, it's this whole issue of, you know, you love them just as much, but you can't be on top of them just as much. Yeah, like our nephew just got his license and he's such a responsible kid. But it's scary no matter what.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to worry about your kid. You have to worry about the other people on the road.
That's of course,
the scary
of
part because
you
have no control over
Well,
that.
But that's even, that's always. And we have actually, in a couple of weeks, we have... someone coming on to talk to us about how to talk to your kids about sex.
All right. I'm not ready for that one.
Well, no, but that's why I did it, because I know that you're super uncomfortable about that. But it's a conversation that needs to happen, and it needs to happen from more of a perspective of, well, like I thought about when we were talking about with Leah in the sexual communications episode part two, when you were talking to her about how you're not really comfortable with schools teaching pleasure and everything like that. And that's a whole issue that we have going on right now in our society, is that nobody's talking about it, like we said. But we need to be talking about all of that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm as uncomfortable as you think.
Well, you said you were uncomfortable.
No, I know, but I think maybe even since talking to Leah.
Well, I wanted to bring someone on because they're really going to tell us, how do you broach the subject, at what age, and at what age do you, you know, bring in books and what books and this and that. Like, there's all different ages that you can do things. And things are changing so fast because I think when our second son, who's now 11, when he was younger, I know we're totally off boundaries now, but when he was younger, I remember, you know, saying to him like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? And he did have a girlfriend and, you know, all this stuff. And now I'm sort of like, if my mom will say to Jonah, our youngest, if she's like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? I'm like, don't ask him that. I don't want you asking him that. I asked you about dating. If you had a date again, okay, what would your boundaries be? What would the deal breakers be?
Oh, right. You did ask that. I didn't answer it.
Oh.
Only because when I was dating, when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I asked you that too.
Yeah, I know. It's the same question. I didn't have very many boundaries. I was very open to just, I loved girls. I loved being, my best friends were girls. Well, for the most part, I had best friends that were boys too. Mm-hmm. But I loved hanging out with girls and I loved dating girls and I loved being with girls and I would go from one to another to another.
Oh, I know. I was one of them.
Yes, because
you didn't even fucking buy me breakfast,
I just loved girls. So I didn't even have time to think about what my boundaries were because I didn't care.
Yeah, but I remember you saying to me like stupid boundaries, like if a girl drove a certain car, you wouldn't date her. If a girl...
Yeah, like I wasn't into like... Yeah, I wasn't into cheesiness, but...
Right. Well, meanwhile, you were so fucking cheesy.
I was so cheesy.
You didn't even know.
Yeah. Well, no, I was not cheesy. I was cool with my black leather jacket.
Right.
And my Gap jeans. Mm-hmm. And I was very cool. Mm-hmm. No, but I just didn't even think about boundaries at the time because I just wanted to be...
Well, I think about that now because... and I wasn't even expecting... I don't even have this in my notes. I wasn't even expecting to talk about it. And it's a little bit controversial for me because I was raised in a very conservative Jewish household.
Right.
And I was raised thinking that you marry a Jewish boy, that's what you do. And you marry somebody who's in the same, you know, who's, I mean, really, when I married you, when I started dating you and you hadn't even gone to college, that was the biggest, I knew that was going to be an issue. Had on top of that, you not been Jewish, that would have been... Not with my mom. My mom wouldn't give a shit. It was all my dad. But that would have been a huge thing. And it's so interesting because when I think about our kids now and what I expected my boundaries to be as parents with my kids dating and marrying and stuff, I always thought I would do the same.
Right.
I always thought that. And listen, and I think there is something nice about marrying someone in your own religion if they're the same person that jives with you. And then, you know,
well,
it can all work out.
You know.
Fine, but that's certainly not my biggest concern now.
Yeah, I think that's probably changed for the most part.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think for us it has. Well, I think once I married a Jew and I was like, this shit is fucking hard no matter what.
Right.
I was sort of like, no, I'm not going to do that to my
kids. Yeah, it was the same for me. Like, I was always raised. I was definitely not conservative in any way. It was very reformed. But it was still...
Oh, but your parents wanted you to marry
still
Jewish.
Still marrying, you marry Jewish, you know.
And we love each other so much. If my kids end up marrying somebody who's Jewish, then all the power to them, great. But I'm by no means going to... I'm more like, take you to what path is easiest for fulfillment. And if that means marrying somebody who's Jewish, great. If it means marrying somebody who's not Jewish and you have the same political beliefs or you have, you know, like if that's what's more important to you or whatever it is, I've surprised myself in that my dad will kill me if he listens to this. I know he will.
He won't make it this far.
It's a different generation. No, he won't make it this far. He won't listen to this episode because I didn't put it on the allowed list.
Right.
But I do think that, and I'm not putting down people who want their kids to marry, that everybody do what's good. Do what you got to do. By all means.
Love is love. That's not just for the LGBT community.
Absolutely.
That's for everybody.
Absolutely. Whatever you want for your kids. I'm not putting down any of it. I get it. I get why you want that for your kids. But I'm also saying that it didn't make marriage any easier for us.
Correct.
for our situation.
Yeah, I'm sure it's for everybody too.
No, don't say everybody. I want people to know. I don't want to, I'm not trying to ostracize anybody because I get the draw of marrying the same religion. I get all of that. But for what I've learned, because you can look at me and say, do you want some your kids to marry someone with different political beliefs? No, I think that's harder.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's harder. That's,
those are like real current time things
yeah,
that you
but
have to like.
People do it. People do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, we don't have the secret. If our kids find out the secret and it works for them, I will be more than happy is what I'm saying.
You think there is a secret? I don't. There, it's two different people coming together.
Yeah, I think Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell have it.
Well.
No, I'm serious. I think that they are, or Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Okay, but you think that from looking in on the outside.
Right.
Nobody.
Oprah Winfrey and Stedman Graham.
I thought it was Gail and Oprah.
I mean, fine. But no, it's not. No. They're best friends. No, I think
you're not even surprised that I remembered her name, Gail?
Yeah, I think I've just said it so many times. What's her last name?
Oh, Winfrey.
Gail Winfrey.
Well, aren't they together? Isn't that a thing? Oh, no.
Well, Oprah does say that people always, you know, they assume that she's just, Stedman's just like a, you know, like a prop. And that right. She and Gail are, because God forbid two women are so close without being sexually active that, you know, like, God forbid. Right. Like, what the fuck? Right. It's so stupid. But no, I do think certain relationships, I don't know any of them personally, which I like. I like that my friends are very open about the fact that their relationships are not perfect.
Okay. Boundaries. Anything else? What you got? Are we done?
No, I guess. I mean, I have. Yes, I have a lot more, but oh. I think we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save it.
We're done. Save it. Yeah. Please rate and review us.
Are they not?
Yeah. Not as much as I think people really think that other people will do it. So they don't do it. I do that too with stuff.
Yeah, I do
too.
You know,
I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, other people worry about it, or other people, you know, like if I hear like a if someone wants you to like donate to a charity, I'm like, oh, someone else will donate.
Right. If I don't, they're probably gonna reach their goal, but
right, 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 right. But no, we really need, and I do donate to a lot of charities. I don't want to go off there and say,
okay.
But we need, please, if you love us, rate and review. If you don't. God bless. And keep God scrolling. Bless.
Yeah, it's really easy. Just hit that button. Type a little nice thing.
And hey, make sure the subscribe button is hit. All right, everyone.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.